Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. And you're going to be glad you're here, too, because Steve Forbes is here. Steve is a good friend, and he's a good friend of mine, and whether you know it or not, he's a good friend of yours. He's a great American. Steve is the president of Forbes, editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, the author of A New Birth of Freedom, which is one of the books I have, an autographed copy, and his new book, Flat Tax Revolution, former presidential candidate, and as I said earlier, folks, a great American. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Steve, I've got a lot of things I want to ask you, but first thing I want to talk about, if it's okay, is your editorial in the October 2nd edition of Forbes. You laid out a pretty comprehensive plan for how to get Iraq settled down so that it has a chance to become a functioning democracy. And I want to talk about your ideas because some of them are I've never heard anybody else make these recommendations, and they make a lot of sense. The first one was what they should do with their oil. Now, tell our audience what you think they ought to be doing with their oil.
Well, as you know, Jim, they have three distinct communities in Iraq, the
yep.
Kurds, the Shiites, and the Sunnis.
Mm-hmm.
Huge conflict over who controls the oil. So I suggest, and others have suggested, why not do what you might call the Alaska solution? In Alaska, they take part of the royalties they get, the state, from the oil revenues, put them in what they call the permanent fund. The fund's managed by professional advisors, investors, stocks, bonds, and the like. And each year, half of the income of that fund is distributed to every man, woman, and child in the state of Alaska. This year, every living human being in Alaska got a check for $845.76.
And, just for being alive in Alaska.
So it doesn't matter where the oil is. If everyone, you know, there the income is about $150 a month, and if suddenly everyone realizes that if they have an address, they're going to get $500 to $1,000 a year, they're going to have every interest in seeing that that oil production increase, that to fight the insurgents who try to disrupt that oil. I think it would turn the thing around on a dime. Everyone has a stake in more oil.
Why aren't we hearing other people besides Steve Forbes talking about this?
I don't know. There are a handful of others pushing it, but so far it's met with deaf ears. They just seem to be stuck in their old ways. But
it's the smartest thing I've ever heard anybody say.
The Iraqis would see that just isn't politicians getting the money, they would get a cut of it too.
It's the smartest thing I've ever heard anybody say about how to solve Iraq's problems, and I'm really glad you gave it. You know, you gave it some ink because this is very important. I mean, I hope you've made a phone call to President Bush and give him this idea if he hasn't already heard about it, because I think it's very smart, and I think you're right. I think it'll have that result because one of the things we found out, Steve, is that Iraqis, when given an opportunity, they're entrepreneurial. They're very literate people, and they want to embrace the marketplace.
Well, that's right. And there's no lack of entrepreneurial energy. What, as we all know, is happening there is there's no real security, so not much happens. And but this way, this would help mobilize or give people capital, would mobilize them to turn against the insurgents. And I think then that way it doesn't matter where the oil is. As long as it's being pumped, everyone gets a cut.
Well, you also talk about free enterprise, developing it over there. And as you may know, our government is doing some things over there. They've got we've interviewed a couple of folks from the Iraqi mission over there who is actually trying to build an economy over there. But as you said, the instability kind of makes it hard for people to start businesses, doesn't it?
It does. And there are a couple of other things they could do. One is to simplify the procedures for starting a business, just administrative things like that, enforcing property contracts and the like. But one of the big things that's happening over there, Jim, as you know, is that inflation has reared its ugly
right,
head. Part
right.
of it is due to the disruption of the war, but part of it is they have a central bank that is just printing too much money. So one of the ideas is to establish what they call a currency board. Iraq had one 60 years ago, and it worked very well. And essentially what it is you can't issue a currency unless it's backed by dollars or euros,
mm-hmm.
or just use the dollar or euro as the legal tender, as other countries, El Salvador, Panama, and others do that. But one way or the other, that way you get rid of the inflation. People have a stable currency.
Well, one of the things about it that we know is wherever there's high inflation, and according to you and your editorial, as high as 70%, whenever there's that level of inflation, it's going to be hard to have a stable government and to be able to get rid of the insurgents. Steve, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back, folks. I've got a lot more questions to ask Steve. In fact, I'm going to ask him what he thinks about oil being below $60 a barrel right now. 20 till. We'll be right back with Steve Forbes. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Steve Forbes is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and his book, Flat Tax Revolution, is still available, and I love the subtitle, Using a Postcard to Abolish the IRS. And Steve, I want to ask you about that in a few minutes, but before we go there, I want to stick with this word inflation. You talked about, a minute ago, you talked about inflation in Iraq. Well, we've had some inflation fears here. Of course, our inflation fears are nothing compared to Iraq with 70% inflation. We've been worried about inflation getting to 4%. But you, the last few times you've been on this show, you were worried about inflation. And with oil prices down now below $60 a barrel and gold down, I think, now below $600 an ounce, are you still concerned about inflation?
I am. Gold, it's good to see gold coming down. But I'm not going to rest easy, Jim, until it gets to about $400, $450 an ounce. And there's a very interesting, if you ever have a chance, Jim, look at a chart to see the price of oil between, say, the late 1940s and, the say, around 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the price of gold. It could be gold in those days. We had the dollar fixed to gold. It was 35
right.
bucks an ounce back in those days. And when gold was fixed to the dollar, the price of oil hardly fluctuated. It was around $2.50, $3 a barrel. It was that way for 25 years. Then when we broke the link with gold, it just went like a roller coaster.
So if we want
to get the oil price down, stabilize the dollar against gold, and we can go back to what we did for 25 years.
What would it take to make that happen?
It would take the Federal Reserve deciding to do it and then fortified by an act of Congress. If the president decided to do it, I think with that chart, people would see.
What would be
stability, low price of oil, people would grasp that pretty quick. We've seen it now. Gold comes down a little bit, so does the price of oil.
What would be the argument against it?
Oh, they would say that it would be too restrictive, that gold is bad. They use emotional arguments. It goes back to the Great Depression. They feel that gold caused the Depression. It didn't.
No.
But those kind of myths persist in the academic world today.
Protectionism caused the Great Depression, as much
yes,
as anything.
Protectionism and then massive tax increases. Imagine doubling taxes in the midst of a economic downturn, but that's what they did.
I'm worried about protectionists in our midst today, Steve. Are you?
Yes, I am. And they all cloak themselves as trying to help us out, but protectionism is taxes. Protectionism is making it hard for people to do business, and when it's hard for people to do business, guess what? We all suffer.
A protectionist, folks, is a dinosaur waiting to become extinct, and when they want you to buy into their ideas, they're telling you, become a dinosaur like me so we can all become extinct together. That's the way I feel about people like Lindsey Graham, and who's a Republican, and Charles Schumer, who's a Democrat. It's on both sides of the aisle, isn't it?
That's right. It's a virus that unfortunately is bipartisan, and you see it with those two senators who have a proposal that would be very destructive, putting on taxes on imports. And that kind of stuff never works. But the virus still lingers, even though it's always had a destructive impact.
Free trade for some people is a little counterintuitive, Steve. Sometimes small business owners think that you know, restricting trade is good for them, but in the long run, free trade is the best. And I've quoted Bastiat so many times before, and maybe I have with when you were here, Steve. But the 19th century economist and comedian Frederick Bastiat said something that I like to say as often as I can. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." And that's one of the main reasons I'm a free trader. Steve, what do you think about oil being below $60 a barrel? At one point in time, about a year ago, you said you thought a large part of the price of oil, the increase in oil, was a result of speculators. What do you think about it now?
Well, the speculators are starting to get flushed out. You read about that hedge fund.
Yep.
Lost $6 billion on natural gas contracts. Supposedly bright people got caught up in this. And when you have inflation, even a mild inflation, speculation results because you have a lot of volatility, and volatility attracts traders. They love that kind of movement. And so I would say the price of oil today, probably at least $10 or $15 is still inflation speculation. Mm-hmm. Another $10 or $15 is, of course, uncertainty about Iran and the Middle East. But the Fed got its act together, Jim. We could knock the oil go down another $10 a barrel
by going by putting the dollar to gold, tying the dollar to gold.
Yes, or even an informal tie, or just soak up some of the excess money they created, mm-hmm. and the problem would take care of itself.
You know, Steve, with oil coming down, if it can stay down, the economy, I think, is going to do a lot better next year than was previously predicted. What do you think?
That's true, and that's going to be very, very critical. If they get the inflation under control, we can have some very decent growth next year. But if they don't get it under control, that's going to hurt. That's going to bite. You know, you can't have these rising prices and not have an impact.
Steve, I'm one of your flat tax revolutionaries, and many of my audience are small business. Many small businesses are flat tax revolutionaries. We've read your book, Flat Tax Revolution. I've got about 20 seconds for now. Where are we on the flat tax revolution?
Well, we have a proposal in Congress for it. Other countries, as you know, are doing it and considering it. We're going to have to wait for the elections after this one, for the presidential election, to get the thing moving again. Voters have to shove it in front of the politicians. They just love the way things are now.
Well, I'll tell you, folks, if we could get a flat tax in America, I just think it'd be one of the best things that could happen. And I think the economy would launch when that happens. When we come back, I'm going to ask Steve about whether he thinks, as I do, that this last week at the UN was unprecedented. Tintel, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend and a great American, Steve Forbes. Steve, give us your website, please.
Our website is Forbes.com, www.forbes.com. And there's a lot of stuff you can find on there. And so I'd urge people to go on. It's a fascinating site. We have 1,000 articles a day and a lot of special features, so you can spend as much time as you wish. Good stuff on there.
It's a good site, but the thing that we like about it, Steve, is it's profitable, right?
It is. supported primarily by advertising. We don't charge people to use the site. We think that's the wrong model, and we're making good money on it. As you know, Jim, 3 or 4 years ago, everyone thought it was illegal to make money online. we're doing it now.
You know, we're laughing, but that was almost the attitude. It pretty much was. Steve, are you excited about the economy? Are you worried about the economy very much right now?
I think the economy is going to do fine in the third and fourth quarters, 3-4% real growth rates. And next year, I'm holding my breath. I hope that the Fed gets its act right, then we could have a decent year. The thing that really worries me is not the things like housing and all the things we read about.
Right.
Is something we the nuts in Iran. They're determined to get the bomb, and I think that's going to be a huge crisis in the next year or two.
What are we going to have to do to prevent that from happening?
Well, with lunatics like that, I'm afraid the only thing they're going to respond to is severe sanctions or force. And unless they believe that we're willing to do it, they're going to go right to the brink. And that's what worries me. These guys are in the world of their own.
But Steve, that's going to take international leadership. We don't have much of that these days.
No, we don't. And so we're going to have to take the lead on it. And I think we've got to establish, and if we don't, Jim, I think the Israelis will. I think they'll just do it
on
their own.
I hate it that they would have to do that, but I really would like to see both sides of the aisle in Washington step up to this issue and say, you know what? I mean, I know I'm probably in a dream world here, Steve, but I'd like to see them stepping up to that. And I agree with you. Something's going to have to be done. But what about what happened at the UN this week, Steve? I actually, and I know you remember this too, I remember watching Khrushchev take his shoe off and bang it on the table at the General Assembly and say, we will bury you, meaning Soviet Union would bury the United States. I think what happened this week with Chavez was unprecedented. What do you think?
It was, and he was so over the line that even the Democrats had to disassociate themselves from him. And I think it was a good lesson to see what true lunatics are lurking out there. These people are way over the bend. They're beyond banging shoes, and I think it was a good lesson for the world. These guys spared their true souls, which are evil and malignant and true lunatics, both the Iranian president and the Venezuelan president. And so you're right. It was an eye-opener for some people.
You know, Steve, we always got to worry about Iran and their nuclear aspirations. But wouldn't the best way to fight Chavez and Iran be to become energy self-sufficient?
Well, if we got the price of oil down, which I think we can, to $30, $35 a barrel, that guy would be left hanging high and dry.
Right.
I'd love to see him doing that.
Right. Both of those guys. Steve, we've got an election coming up in about a month and a half. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm glad the president's finally going out there and trying to explain what we're doing and why we're doing it. I think that active approach is much needed. So I'm a little more optimistic than I was a month ago, and I hope that the Republicans can come up with some good ideas, and I just hope we can hang on to both houses, because it would be a bad thing for everything if the Democrats got control.
You mean you wouldn't want to see Speaker Pelosi?
Well, and that's just the beginning. You look at the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and some of these other committees. I mean, these guys are not just are they old in terms of age, but old in terms of thinking, which is the worst thing. And we'd have impeachment hearings. It would bring more regulations, more harassment, more taxes. It would not be a pretty picture.
But it wouldn't hurt the Republicans to get the bejeebers scared out of them a little bit, would it?
Well, they need a good kick, and I think the fact that they know they're going to lose ground is beginning to wake some of them up.
Yeah.
But they got a little too comfortable. The president let them get too comfortable.
I think you're right. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Flat Tax Revolution, the president of Forbes, the editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, and one of my heroes. Steve, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. You're my other heroes. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.